From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome to the show. Thursday already. Man, this week has been going by. I can't tell if this week's been going by fast or slow. It just feels... I'm going to say fast. I'm going to say it's been really fast because it's been a fun week. We have a great show tonight. I'm really, really excited. So in the 9 p.m. hour tonight, stick around because we're going to talk to this guy. He runs a yogurt shop up in my neck of the woods. I live up in Snohomish County. And in Snohomish, there is this enchanting yogurt shop. Now, why is this interesting to you guys? Well, if you guys have a family or if you just like yogurt or you like going into businesses that try really, really, really hard to earn your business, this is the yogurt shop for you. I'm going to put up a gallery on mynorthwest.com. You can see all the pictures, what this guy's doing. It is an immersive experience. It's not like any shop you've ever been into, I promise. It's like the best yogurt shop you could even, you know, imagine. That's high praise, but I'm not joking. It's really unique. We're going to talk to this guy at the start of the 9 p.m. hour. So if you're interested in hearing about him, his background, how on earth he creates this yogurt shop, the experience, the artwork, then you don't want to miss that interview. It's going to be really good. 9 o'clock. Tune in for that. All right. We got a lot of stuff to get to on the show. I'm very excited about tonight. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.
I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
I do know what love is, and that's what's important. All right. I play a trivia clip every night. We just have so much news to get into. I can't even like sit here and chat a ton. This is like we're going to get to it. But first, we're going to play the trivia clip. You guys can guess on the text line, the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. That's 888-973-5476. 973-97.3, that's where we're at on the dial. 5476 spells Cairo on your touch-tone phones or whatever they are. What are the ones, Matt, that the phones like ring? They're circles.
The rotary dials?
Rotary dials, that's what it is. All right, so here's the trivia clip. Good luck, everybody. And this is inspired by a recent news story we covered heavily on the show yesterday. So use that as a clue. But here's the clip.
I tell you what, I'm not going to die. No, I'm going to kill the bear. Say it, I'm going to kill the bear. Say it, I'm going to kill the bear. Say it. Say I'm going to kill the bear. Say it.
I'm going to kill the bear.
Say it again.
I'm going to kill the bear.
Say it again. I'm gonna kill the bear! Good. What one man can do, another can do.
What one man can do, another can do.
Say it again!
What one man can do, another can do.
Say it again!
What one man can do, another can do!
Yeah!
Yeah. That's just a great motto in life, honestly. What one man can do, another can do. Does it get any better than that? No. I'm gonna talk about that clip in a little bit. Why I love that movie so much. But you're going to have to wait for that for the top of the news roundup, which is what we do every night. That's an hour from now, so check it out then. I'll give you the answer to that clip. All right, let's get into the news. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. This is happening again. I hate this story. I hate to keep covering this story because I have to be a dad. I got three sons. I got a fourth on the way. I know how boys act. I know that they get crazy. I know that they go nuts when they want to impress their friends. They break their arms even to impress their friends. My son did that once. They do crazy things. But these Kia boys, it's just getting out of control.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
All right, so in Renton, listen to this. And we have some really great audio I'm gonna play you guys here. This is there's actually like helicopter chase audio. This one got serious. But the ages of these kids, and I say kids because they are children, is scary to me as a parent. Listen to this. Renton Police Department officers chased down a 14 and 16-year-old but are still looking for two other teen suspects who are ages 14 and 15 and what they say was a crime spree in South King County. Officers were alerted to the incident Tuesday afternoon when two boys, ages 8 and 10, called 911. Think about that. An 8-year-old and a 10-year-old called 911 because... somebody threatened them with a gun, a passenger in the back of a red sedan near Edmonds and Ferndale Avenue in Renton. I'm sorry, Edmonds Avenue Northeast and Ferndale Avenue Northeast in Renton. Later that afternoon, a Renton resident reported a red Hyundai Sonata had been stolen. Then police were able to alerted to a similar vehicle driving erratically along Lake Washington Boulevard. If you guys don't know what the Kia Boys trend is, it was all over TikTok. Young guys who had masks on so you couldn't identify them, were showing people some manufacturing errors, I think, probably in Kias and Hyundais, which allowed them to be stolen quite easily with like a screwdriver and a USB cord because kids are smart and they figure this stuff out really fast. Anyway, they posted this video to TikTok. They called themselves the Kia Boys, and it was a catchy name, and catchy names stick. And so all these other young people out there who are on TikTok and who are seeing the internets and all these different things, they see this video and they go, oh, that looks fun. We have some spare time on our hands. What if we were to steal a car because they're so easy to get? And so they have been doing this, and they've been stealing them in record numbers. In fact, we've done stories, insurance rates in cities are going up because people are stealing so many Kias and Hyundais. They have to spread that out amongst all the people who have insurance on their vehicles. If, like back in the old days, if you drove a red sports car, your sports car that was red, you paid a higher insurance than the rest of the drivers out there because that car was, you know, possibly going to be dangerous or it was going to be tempting to drive faster, whatever. Now, Kias and Hyundais are getting more expensive to insure. Now, those are not sports cars. Those are like very generic, middle-of-the-road, nice cars. I used to have a Kia. They're nice cars. But they're being stolen a lot. So this was a Hyundai, four teenagers, very young. The youngest was 14. Two 14-year-olds, a 15-year-old, and a 16. Listen to this audio, though. The King County Sheriff's Office released this. This was Guardian 1 helicopter as they were tracking this red Hyundai with these four teenage boys, one of them in the back seat, reportedly from this clip you're going to hear here, has a gun. What is going on?
They're continuing westbound.
And just blew a red light at Burnett. I am not in pursuit. And blew the light at Logan as well.
And just turned in oncoming traffic here, Oaksdale and 43rd.
We're coming up on a few businesses here, about 65 miles per hour.
921, what kind of car am I right there?
It's a red Hyundai Sonata, it's a Victor. Backseat passenger is armed.
And Guardian 1, they're pulling into South Center Mall now at Baker and Andover West. And Guardian 1, they're bailing at the mall. One just ran westbound into the parking lot. Another ran, south into the parking garage. Another ran north towards the mall.
They're all running into the mall right now, into Montezuma's. I got three of them.
Trevor 30, we have this guy detained. The still a K-9 advised the matches description to one of the ones that bailed from the car. So two detained total, two outstanding.
All right, so police said the four teenagers made it down to South Center. They then crashed into a pole. They immediately, like, jump out of the car. I guess they knew that the police were after them, or I guess they could hear that the helicopter was tracking them because they drive under what looks like a footbridge connecting the mall to the parking garage. They kind of hide under that for a second in the car, and then they all just dart in different directions. You can hear there, they said they got one of them. A canine officer was alerted to one in, I think it was in the parking garage. So the Renton police chief, John Schultz, said in a press release, he said, we are lucky that no one was injured in this situation, but it's only a matter of time. He's totally right there. These kids are driving erratically. They don't know how to drive vehicles often. Even if they do have their license, they're just fresh drivers. They shouldn't be driving around. They certainly shouldn't be driving around running from the police with guns. He spoke with the Jason Rand Show about how juvenile crime is way up, like way up.
Type of crisis you guys are dealing with younger people. Can you take us through sort of big picture what it is you're seeing?
Anecdotally, we heard through our officers that, God, we're seeing a lot more juveniles involved. But until we sat down and pulled our statistics and really provided the data, it really makes you take notice, sometimes doubling or tripling in the amount of crime that we could identify juveniles as being part of. And, you know, I know it's not just exclusive to the city of Renton. That's really a regional issue that I know a lot of my other colleagues from other cities are dealing with the same issues.
So he says that two of the suspects were arrested, two more still on the loose. The two teens that were arrested were released to their families. Their families have some serious things to talk about with these kids. This is a very serious situation. I mean, it's really bad. We're seeing this all the time now. In fact, Schultz, I'm mispronouncing that, but the Renton police chief was telling Jason about just another case just last week where you had three teens in a vehicle driving around when they should have been in school and they had a gun with them.
You know, this isn't some 16-year-old stealing a Butterfinger from a 7-Eleven. This is a 16-year-old bringing a gun to that 7-Eleven and then committing an armed robbery. I mean, we're seeing a dramatic rise in violent crime.
Right. And I think, you know, the prime example of that is a case we had last week that we put out on our media with three juveniles being mm-hmm. taken into custody out of a stolen vehicle, which isn't a surprise, but then also having the a stolen handgun with them also, which, you know, these are kids in the middle of the day. They're 15-year-olds. They should be in school, for God's sakes, not out joyriding in a stolen vehicle with a firearm on them also.
So I'm a parent. I told you guys at the start of the segment. I got three boys. I know the boys do crazy things, but someone needs to give these kids a hard timeout or a spanking or something. They probably needed a correction a long time ago. If they're 16 and they're finding their way into stolen vehicles with guns, that might be a little bit past timeouts, I would guess. They're probably going to get arrested when they are found and sent away for some serious time. And it sounds like they need to be. But there's still light at the end of the tunnel. I believe that they can turn their lives around. These guys are still young. They're still young. Their brains aren't even fully developed yet. And, you know, I mean, like, what is the male brain is not fully developed until you're in your mid to late 20s. So they got a lot of time where they can turn things around. You can still have a good life. And I play this clip in jest, but I do feel like I need to play it again because I want the message to sink in. You don't want to go to prison. Trust me.
Prison stinks, but I am here to scare you straight. I am here to scare you straight! In prison, you are somebody's bitch. Oh, and you, my friend, would be the belle of the ball. Don't drop the soap. Don't drop the soap. The worst thing about prison was the Dementors. They were flying all over the place, and they were scary, and then they'd come down, and they'd suck the soul out of your body, and it hurt! I hope that this scared you. I just want to thank you for listening to me. Letting me be a part of your life today. Because you got a good life. You got a good life.
You got a good life. I do want to say one thing sincerely at the end of this. And I know that these teenagers are not listening to the show right now. Unless they're in a stolen vehicle and they're driving around and maybe it was already tuned to Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. If you are listening, turn yourselves in, take your medicine, and turn your life around. You absolutely can. You're 14, you're 15 years old. People want to root for you. They want the best for you. There's people out there who probably even love you. And I think you got a good life ahead of you. That's my message to these teenagers. Don't let one bad decision in your life ruin the rest of your life. You can turn on to the path of righteousness, I promise you. All right, let's get into something else here, Matt. This was exciting. Our very own Lisa Brooks has received a major award.
Yeah, but what is that? It's a major award.
A major award?
I won it.
Damn hell, you say you want it?
Yeah. Mind power, sweet, mind power.
Yes, she has, and she joins us right now. Lisa Brooks, welcome to the show.
I thought the same thing.
Did you think
when
that clip when you got it?
That thing went right through my head when I got learned
yes.
that I won it.
Great, so. Great. All right, so I'm going to read you a little bit of this My Northwest art release about this, because this is exciting. We're happy for Lisa. We're excited for Lisa, and I wanted to ask her on to tell us a little bit about this award. So, Lisa Brooks and Heather Bosch, anchors at Cairo News Radio, have been honored with by the Alliance for Women in Media with the prestigious Gracie Awards. These awards recognize exceptional programming produced by women, for women, and about women across various media platforms. Lisa Brooks received her awards for the best soft news feature for her report, The Hub of Hope. Lisa, tell us about The Hub of Hope.
Well, this is a story.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
This is exciting.
Yes, it's pretty darn cool.
They actually brought a poster in, a framed picture of you, and put it up in the newsroom. This is a big deal.
It is kind of cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Is this named after Gracie Allen? Like,
yes, that is who it's named after.
Like George?
They've been handing these out for 70 years.
Wow.
And some of the names that have also won this award are pretty humbling.
That's cool.
Know? So, yeah, the story that I won
like
for...
Like who else? Give us some of the other names.
Well, this year, Michelle Obama.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Hillary Clinton has won it pretty much... Every powerful woman in media, our own Heather Bosch, has won multiple Gracies. I think this is probably her third or fourth or fifth.
Oh, okay.
That's
amazing.
You name Katie Couric has, you know, I mean, you just name
and
women
in
media.
And you were surprised when this happened because you
I
didn't even know
surprised.
You were submitted for
I didn't even enter it. I was entered on my behalf by Charlie Harger.
Yeah, our news, news director here
right.
who saw good work and wanted to highlight it.
It was very nice.
So tell us about the Hub for Hope.
The Hub is a project that is at Kent Meridian High School. It was started by three science teachers, one of them April Thousand. I happened to meet when I was on a cruise, an Alaskan cruise over the summer.
Oh, cool.
And she was one of my dinner companions. And she's like, what do you do? What do you do? And she was telling me about this thing that they did. And I'm like, whoa, this is wonderful. So the science teachers.
So this just by happenstance, you met her.
Yeah.
You weren't even like looking for the story.
No.
Just came to you.
Yeah. And we just started talking about it every night at dinner.
Oh, that's great.
Because they teach it with the same people.
Yeah.
And so I got her number and we talked after that and I put the story together. So Kent Meridian High School has students from 76 countries. They speak 62 different languages. They have a lot of asylum seekers, a lot of people from, like, for example, Afghanistan who've come in. Very, very poor population. A lot of girls don't have access to period products. And these teachers saw this. And so 7 years ago, they decided, we got to do something about this. They started collecting things like not only tampons and pads and leggings and underwear for the girls who have bad days on their periods, but they also started collecting, you know, pencils and snacks. And now there are churches putting together meal kits, supplies,
yeah.
And everything is free.
Oh, that's neat.
And any student can go there, bags of, you know, tissues. They source stuff from everywhere, like airlines. If they open a bag of pretzels on an airline and they don't give all those pretzels out to the passengers, they're not allowed to keep it for the next flight. They have to get rid of it.
And these are individually wrapped bags of pretzels. It's not like an old bag.
For example, so somebody's been collecting those and they store them. And when there's a lot, they call the teachers and they say, hey, we got enough for the hub. And those three teachers scramble into their SUVs and they drive over there and pick up that stuff and put that in the hub. And they're doing amazing work.
That's amazing.
So
it's so cool. You know, like as a parent, I see this, you know, at kids' schools, we get emails all the time. They're saying like, hey, if you guys can afford to send extra snacks, extra classroom snacks. There are kids from time to time who don't have extra snacks that are sent in their lunches or, you know, for whenever it is. And so, you know, being able to contribute those things feels great. And just to think that there are kids out there who don't have access to some of these things. And, you know, these teachers have stepped in and the community now as a whole and you yourself highlighting the story, helping them fill that need. That's a really cool thing.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Well, thank you so much.
We're really proud of you.
Thank you. That's
really neat. All right. We got a lot of stuff coming up. Congratulations to Lisa. It's going to be a great show tonight. Matt, what do we got coming up?
All right. Coming up on tonight's edition of Cairo Nights, we'll find out what famous movie prop recently sold for an unbelievable price. And a local business owner joins us to talk about the extraordinary things he's doing to get customers in the door. And, of course, the news roundup with our very own award-winning Lisa Brooks. Headed your way just after 8 o'clock. It's all here tonight on Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm Jake Skorheim, your host. All right, I want to focus on something that we can all agree on. Florida has done a couple of things recently that I think that we can all agree on, which is nice. I mean, I'm a very middle-of-the-road kind of guy politically. I'm also just middle-of-the-road in life. Hopefully I'm in the middle of life, maybe even a little less than middle. I'd like to think that more than half my life is ahead of me. Although, if you look at the actuarials, I'm more than halfway there, which means I think a crisis should be coming up soon. Anyway, all right, back to Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis, you may not like his politics. That's fine. I don't care. What you probably do like is they just signed a bill recently. I'm gonna get to what he's done today. But just recently, they signed a bill in Florida that would make 14-year-olds unable to get on social media unless they have their parents prove that they have given them permission, which is great. We can all agree. I think we can all agree. You may not agree, but you would be wrong. We can all agree that social media is not a great thing for young kids. This is another thing I think we can all agree on. Listen to this. In Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis has just signed in a bill that takes away a bunch of crazy rights that are given to squatters and transfers them back to, rightfully, I believe, to the homeowners. No long drawn out court cases. All you have to do, somebody is in your house, they shouldn't be there. This is such common sense stuff. I can't even believe this needs to be a surprising thing these days. If somebody's in your house and they're not supposed to be, and they're not paying you rent, and they are claiming that they have a right to your house, even though it's yours, in Florida, you just call the police and you get the squatters out. Sounds pretty good. Local 10 News in Florida was talking about this. Then I'm going to talk about how we compare in Washington State and why I hope that we adopt something similar in our state.
Spoke to the Broward County property appraiser. He says this home here in Dania Beach is actually an example of a pretty recent squatting case that they resolved. Two people were actually living inside here illegally. They even tried to sell the house. Well, the homeowner, the county, and law enforcement had to go through a whole tedious process to finally get them out. Well, this new law is supposed to make this process significantly less complicated.
You are not going to be able to commandeer somebody's private property and expect to get away with it.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in Orlando today signing a House bill with bipartisan support aimed to address squatters' rights in Florida,
which will give the homeowner the ability to quickly and legally remove a squatter from a property.
Squatters are people who illegally take up a vacant home, building, or land. Oftentimes, they'll present a fake lease or claims of ownership.
All right, so how do we compare here in Washington State? This story actually reminded me of something that we covered here a lot. I think they covered it on John Curley's show a bunch. I think Jason Rance covered it as well. It got press in Seattle Times. It was all locally here. It was like a very well-covered story. It was called The Nightmare Tenant. Do you guys remember this? It was about a year ago. There was a guy whose name was Jason Roth. Still his name, Jason Roth. And he bought a house back in South Seattle back in 2016. He's a mechanic. He spent a bunch of time working on the house. And what his plan was is he was going to work on this house. He was going to put in some sweat equity. And then he was going to list the house for rent. And this is how he was going to build up his nest egg. I mean, this is a great way to a happy retirement. If you can get real estate, get it. It's the only thing they're not making more of, like land, right? And the houses that they build that people can, you know, if you can afford to purchase a house and rent it out, it can be a great thing. It can also be a nightmare, as Jason Roth discovered. So here's what happened. Roth listed his house for rent. He found a tenant who he said appeared responsible. And then on March 1st, 2023, when the tenant was in there for his, I guess this would be his first month that he was supposed to pay rent, he initially got into the house, gave him $1,000 per the lease agreement. That was the last of the money that Jason ever received from this guy. So on March 1st, 2023, the tenant failed to pay their rent. And then subsequent weeks, Roth learned that a portion of his property was being used. And this is like where it turns into a nightmare. It was being listed on Airbnb so that the tenant was actually not paying his rent. And in Seattle, it's very hard to kick somebody out of the house if they're, you know, they have all these squatters' rights, they have all these tenants' rights, much more than the homeowner does, apparently. And this tenant, this nightmare tenant, if you could even call them that since they weren't paying anything, was renting out the extra room in the house on Airbnb and was turning a profit, which is what Roth was trying to do himself. He said that he had been saving up for this house since he was in high school. This was his life plan. And somebody else was cashing in on it. So listen to this. After the initial $1,000 from the initial lease agreement, Roth never received a payment from the tenant. Roth was forced to live in his van on some nights and couch surfing on relatives and friends' couches until he could figure out how to recover his home. But that was a super long journey. I don't know if you guys know the story, but it doesn't happen overnight. It's not like you can just walk in and say, hey, you know what? You failed to pay rent. Like, this is what I thought. When I was a young guy and I was paying rent living in Seattle, if I wasn't going to be able to pay my rent, which actually did happen once, I called up my landlord. I saw my bank account. I realized, oh my gosh. And I was like, I don't know, 23 at the time. I was out of college. I was working, but not making a ton of money. And I realized like, oh shoot, I did not properly budget this month and I'm not going to be able to cover my rent. So I called up my landlord and I said, hey, this was totally my mistake. I will pay extra if that's what needs to happen, but can you give me like a 10-day extension? My landlord, thankfully, was a really, really cool dude. And I'd name him on the air, but he probably doesn't want to be named on the air. It was like 20 years ago, but he was really, really cool. And he worked with me and I was able to pay him 10 days late when I got my next paycheck. And from that point on, I'll tell you what, I made sure that as I got closer and closer to the end of the month, when I was going to have to pay rent, that I had enough money in there. And if I didn't have enough money in there, I picked up extra jobs. I went on Craigslist. I did what I needed to do. I painted whatever I needed to do so that I could make the extra money needed so I didn't have to call that landlord again. But in Seattle now, people just don't pay their rents and they don't get kicked out because they know that they have a very long time in the court process. So here's where it gets disastrous for Jason Roth. He has to go to court to get this guy kicked out of his house. You can't just call the police and have them come and remove them. No, they would say, nope, you got to take these people to court. You have to work it out in court. So the first court appearance for this this ordeal was on October 23rd. Now again, March 1st, 2023, tenant fails to pay their rent. He then gets a court appearance on October 23rd. It takes forever to get in court. Everybody knows that. The attorney supplied by the Housing Justice Project for the guy who was illegally just living in the guy's in Roth's house asked for a continuance. So the original court date, which was set for October 23rd, is now pushed to March 12th, the following year. So it's more than a year later. The Housing Justice Project is an organization in King County that helps low-income tenants with landlord-tenant law cases. In turn, Jason Roth recruited his own help. He went to the Rental Housing Association of Washington. Roth said, I would not look into being a landlord in Washington unless you are a Rental Housing Association member because the laws are changing so fast that even the lawyers can't seem to keep up with them. This association, he said, I know it sounds like it's a plug, but it's not. They have solved this problem for me by training and teaching me, getting me up to speed, recommending the right lawyers. You can't keep up with all the changing laws unless you have someone doing that for you. So what ended up happening? More than a year later, finally, the situation got resolved. He was on the Curly Show to talk about this. This is just 2 weeks ago. This is March 14th, like exactly 2 weeks ago. He was on the John Curly Show, and he said that it has finally been resolved. They were able to get the guy out of there. The problem was, as part of the settlement, not the problem, but kind of a downside, as part of the settlement, nothing is going on that guy's record, who lived for free in this guy's house. Racked up like $50,000, according to this article, of rent that would have been owed to him that he's just not getting. He said there's going to be nothing on the guy's record. He said he has other things on his record, but this is going to be off his record. So going forward, when he wants to rent another house, they're not going to know that he's the nightmare tenant unless they look him up, which they hopefully will. I mean, I'm hoping everybody Google searches things these days. But it's really difficult in our state. So in a place like Florida, they have just made it a lot easier. And now I'm hoping that in Washington State, they're going to do something similar. So I don't know. We can pray and we can hope. I don't know if Washington State's going to do that, but we can pray. All right. We got a lot more coming up on the show. So stick around. We'll be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. All right, so President Joe Biden in New York tonight. They are hosting, it might be over by now, but he was hosting a giant fundraiser. He is clearly he's running for re-election, and this is supposed to be like a really hot ticket. It's in New York. There's a bunch of celebrities who are supposed to be there. But here's the weird part that I found this kind of interesting. Let's see here. It's supposed to be at Radio City Music Hall. It's going to be hosted by actress Mindy Kaling. It's going to feature performances by several musical guests and artists, including Queen Latifah, Lizzo, Ben Platt, Cynthia Erivo, and Lea Michele. The event will end with a discussion between not only President Biden, but he's pulling out some heavy hitters. Former President Barack Obama will be on the stage as well. And former President Bill Clinton will be there. So all three of those guys. And it's going to be moderated by Stephen Colbert, who hosts The Late Show. So clearly it's a star-studded event. They're trying to raise a bunch of money. What they're shooting to do is to raise over $25 million. And they say it's going to be the most successful political fundraiser in American history, which is what a claim they're hoping to be able to claim by the end of tonight. Okay, why are we talking about this? This was odd. This was an odd moment that happened. This was earlier today. This was on Air Force One. This is Biden's, obviously the president flies on Air Force One. Accompanying him on the flight was former President Barack Obama. And, you know, if you've ever seen any movie that has Air Force One, there is a press section where all the press sit, the gaggle, they call them, like a gaggle of press. They're sitting there on the plane, and they're kind of sequestered off into their own area. I'm sure they have their own bathroom. Often in movies, you will see the press secretary or somebody from the White House come out and address the press, let them know what's going on, when we're going to land, all those types of things, what kind of questions they'll be taking. They just kind of like, you know, they give them a heads up on whatever's happening. So Karine Jean-Pierre steps out and starts talking to them. And she's with a very special guest. It sounds like right behind her is President Barack Obama, former President Barack Obama, except she tells the press that everything that they're about to hear is off the record. So they are all, of course, very excited because it's Obama and they want to hear what this guy has to say. They're like thrilled to be talking to a president who has some energy and some pep. And as soon as he gets there, she says, off the record, off the record. Here's what that sounded like. And then you hear just like a half clip of Obama before they shut off their camera, which is, it's just a strange thing. We're going to get into a few more of these that happened as well, but there's something strange here, and I'm not quite sure what it is.
You all, I want to make sure we are all aware that this is off the record. Off the record, off the record, off the record.
How's it going, everybody?
All right, so we hear Obama say, how's it going, everybody? He's got a very familiar voice. We all, you know, we all know that voice. But it's the off the record stuff that I just don't get, because in our country, we have a free press. And the press are there to cover the event. They're coming out and they're saying it's off the record. What on earth could President Obama, former President Obama, be saying to the press that the rest of us are not allowed to hear? I don't know. But it does make me just scratch my head and go like, eh, I'd like to be privy to those. You know, if we're going to have press on there and if we as taxpayers are paying for that flight, which we are, then I would like to know what's going on. I feel like that's kind of our right because we live in a free country. It did remind me, though, this is something that the Biden campaign has been doing, oddly. And again, I do not understand this. It's not like Biden is not answering questions. This was at a press event. Not a press event. Actually, there was press at this. This was at a campaign stop. He is in, I believe it's Saginaw, but he's in Michigan. I know he's in Michigan. And Biden is speaking with a group of folks on the deck of like a beautiful old Victorian house. There's a bunch of people outside. The press is standing just below the deck. And they have all of their cameras pointed up at President Biden. And this, it looks like a group of young people, but I think they're actually teachers in Michigan. And you can hear President Biden speaking with one of the teachers, and he's kind of a low talker, but the teacher you can hear says, or whoever this person is in relation to this group, person says, oh, we're going to take some questions now, which is, you know, great, because Biden doesn't take a ton of questions. So they were excited about that. The press is excited. And then one of the handlers, that then quickly turns into three handlers, stops Biden from saying anything. They like pause it. I didn't realize they had that power over the president, but they pause that section for a second. Then they walk down the steps and they literally shoo the press away, just like mice. They say, press, go away now. You can't be here anymore. Thank you, press. Thank you, press. Here's what that sounded like. It's bizarre. I don't get it.
We're going to take a few questions.
Thank you, press.
Thank you, press.
Thank you, press.
Isn't that the weird? Isn't that the weirdest thing? Like, these are all grown adults. These are professional journalists, and you have these young White House aides just walking down the steps, saying, "Thank you, press. Get out of here, press. Thank you, thank you, thank you." Just shutting them down. Are they required? Like, I honestly, I'm a commentator. I'm not a journalist, so I don't know the official rules of journalism. Are they not allowed to just say, "Nah, I'm gonna stay here. You guys invited us to this event. I'm gonna stay here and hear what the president has to say." Isn't that their right to do that? Or are they afraid that maybe they're going to get shunned at future press events and they're never going to get called on? They're not going to be able to ask any questions. Is that maybe what's happening? I'm not sure what's going on here, but I would like to know what they're saying if they're having these events. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. Next, I'm going to give you the answer to that trivia clip. We got the news roundup, tons of fun stuff. So stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.